The enrollment window is open for Medicare, and one big change coming is a cap on out-of-pocket costs for drugs. But unlike many other insurance plans, traditional Medicare still does not cap patient costs for other care, like nursing homes and hospital bills. And for the millions of people affected, those bills can add up quickly. Bob Herman is a reporter with our editorial partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication, and he's with us now to discuss the lack of limits on Medicare costs. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Let's start by just reviewing this new cap on drug prices. So by 2025, people on Medicare will not pay more than $2,000 a year for their prescriptions. How significant is this for Medicare patients?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. It was one of the most tangible things that patients will feel from the big drug pricing law that was signed into law this year. Actually, the cap on prescription drugs technically starts in 2024. It's a little bit more than 2,000. Mm. But the hard cap of 2,000 starts in 2025. And it's such a huge relief because so many medications are obviously very expensive, and many people are on expensive medications for cancer, for heart issues. And so to have the peace of mind that there's a maximum that you have to pay for your drugs is, I think, by far the biggest deal for patients in the drug pricing law.
I'm sure it helps budgeting, especially if you're on a fixed budget. But as we mentioned, there are still a lot of areas of care that have no limit on out-of-pocket costs. And caps, trying to cap those costs, have long been contentious in Congress. So what happened the last time Congress tried to take action on this?
Yeah. So back in the 1980s, Congress actually did pass a law, and it capped how much someone in traditional Medicare had to pay out of pocket for their hospital and doctor care. But they quickly repealed it less than a year later because there was such an outcry from beneficiaries. Some beneficiaries didn't understand what it meant. But there's also a very strong contingency of, you know, a strong contingent of wealthy and well-insured seniors who didn't like it. It meant their taxes were going up. It meant that their current coverage wasn't as valuable. So there was an outcry. Congress repealed it. And we were back to the current scenario where if you're in traditional Medicare and you don't have a form of supplemental coverage, you could be on the hook for unlimited costs. And that's obviously financially ruinous for someone if there's an emergency.
So as you mentioned, some people solve this issue by getting supplemental insurance, either on their own or through their employer. So how do private health insurers fit into this entire conversation?
Yeah, so when someone turns 65, they basically have two options. You can go into traditional Medicare and buy supplemental coverage that accompanies it, or they would move into Medicare Advantage. Those are plans run by private health insurers. And there are major trade-offs. Obviously, with Medicare Advantage, many of the plans by law have to offer an out-of-pocket cap. So you're protected. Usually the average is around $5,000 per year. You don't have to pay a dime more than that. But these private Medicare Advantage plans, they have limited networks of hospitals and doctors. There's often no coverage of out-of-network care. So people are kind of have been flocking to these private Medicare plans because of these out-of-pocket caps. As I mentioned, there's these obvious trade-offs.
Yeah. You also write that a lot of people who are on Medicare spend less than $5,000 a year on out-of-pocket costs. So does that mean that capping these costs will not benefit most Medicare patients?
So you're right. Most people don't spend $5,000 out of their own pockets in a given calendar year for their care. But like most people with commercial health insurance, you have an out-of-pocket max there in case of emergency. If you come down with cancer, if you need a serious surgery, if there's an emergency, a heart attack, something, you know that there's protection there and you won't have to pay above a certain amount.
So any advice for the millions of Medicare patients who have no supplemental coverage and get hit with some of these high bills? Any resources for them, or are they on their own?
Well, I think the important thing, especially if they're signing up, if they're going through the Medicare enrollment process right now, there are, agents and federal, assisters that can help you decide what plans are best for you. And obviously, if you want to stay in traditional Medicare, which a ton of people do, they want to have that access to their doctors and their hospitals. If you don't get additional supplemental coverage from an employer or from Medicaid, there are Medigap plans. So you can buy additional coverage there. The only trade-off is it could be very expensive. But obviously, if you can't afford that supplemental coverage, you kind of are on your own. And that's one of those things where you have to think long and hard about whether jumping to a Medicare Advantage plan is actually worth the trade-off. The advice I really have is just make sure that you're thinking about all of your options and find knowledgeable people who can help you weigh these different trade-offs, because this isn't easy. It's difficult and it shouldn't be, but find the resources that can help you make the right decision.
Bob Herman is a reporter with our editorial partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Bob, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.